Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, Fastlane Sports Nation. We have a darn good show for you today. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Coming up on this episode, we've got Eric Westendorf here. He's the track announcer at Lernerville, also known as Big E. We will talk to him and get his take on the race season in 2020. And what's coming up in 2021. We've got World of Outlaws sprints and late models running this weekend. Christina and I will have plenty to talk about in Talking Dirty. We've got NASCAR crew chief Keith Wolf. He'll be here. Christina will be talking to him. And then coming up also later in the show, we've got, of course, the Penalty Box and the Fastlane Sports Show Fantasy League points, standings, and updates. So, it's going to be a great show. Stick around. Keep it tuned right here on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Let's go!
On the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fastlane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tottich. Still with me so far. That's right. This is the Fastlane Sports Show presented by Ultra Light Railway Brake Stick. Of course, I'm your host, Pete. And you know what that means. Thank God it's the weekend.
Everybody's working for the win.
right. It's the weekend. This is what we've all worked for. And it's here. And it's another brand new episode of the Fast Lane Sports Show. We've got a great show lined up for you guys this morning. Of course, Christina will be here in just a little bit. We'll do a little talking dirty with her. We've got World of Outlaws to update on anyway. Some great racing in the sprint car world right now with the Outlaws. Plus, we've got NASCAR crew chief coming up in just a little bit, Mr. Keith Wolf. Christina will be talking to him. And then we've got some NASCAR stuff to update. But right now, without further ado, he's been on hold patiently waiting. We've got Mr. Big E from Lernerville joining us, a past guest of the show, and I consider a friend of the show now. We've talked to him several times. In fact, our first visit to Lernerville was last year for opening day. We'll talk about that. But good morning, Eric. How are you doing?
Good morning, Pete. Glad to be with you. Always enjoy it. I'm just glad I'm not being called in for the penalty box segment.
No, not this week. So, yeah, just behave, and you won't have to worry about that.
Sounds good. I wouldn't mind talking about the World of Outlaws, though. That show at I-55 last night. I-55 has become one of my favorite tracks to watch. It is so racy out there.
Yeah, not only that, but Mr. Brad Sweet seems to be on a little bit of a tear here lately, winning three in a row. He's on fire over there in that Casey Kane car.
Yeah, and Sheldon Honshield and Rico Abreu are so much fun to watch, and I can't wait to get them back to the track. We do have them on a schedule again twice this year, and those are always my favorite nights of the season. I love our Fab Four program, but nothing compares to me like the World of Outlaws sprints. It truly is the greatest show on dirt.
Yeah, we will we'll definitely be talking about your guys' upcoming schedule. Lernerville is home of the Fab Four. Eric, you guys feature four different series there at Lernerville. Lernerville obviously is a dirt track for anybody listening who's never been to or heard of Lernerville Speedway. It's in Sarver, PA. I would say North Pennsylvania. What, you're about northeast of Pittsburgh by about, what, an hour or so?
Well, I guess it depends on who's driving and traffic, but probably, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes. Pretty due north, a little bit east of Pittsburgh, yeah, but not quite an hour.
And it's a dirt track. It's at our first time there last year, and when I pulled up and walked in, I was just amazed at the size of the track. The area you guys have there is big. Our home track is Wayne County Speedway, and it's just a little track, a little dirt track. So when I pulled up into there, into Lernerville, I was amazed at the size, and it's that beautiful red dirt that you guys have there. How big is the track, Eric?
So for a long time, it was billed as a half a mile. We've been promoting it as 4/10 of a mile for a long time. But with their GPS technology, the World of Outlaws timing and scoring actually time it now as a 3/8 mile of track. So it just, you know, they kind of look at it as, you know, where the typical racing groove is. And a lot of times, you know, we have a three-lane track. You know, you can run top, middle, and bottom. But the World of Outlaws kind of go through the middle. You know, groove. So, you know, they scored as 3/8 of a mile, 4/10. But, you know, like you said, it's a great facility. Beautiful red clay. We just got 500 new tons from Terry Bowser Excavating, which is one of our longtime partners. 500 fresh tons of red clay. And Dan Bauman, who does our track prep, said it's the best dirt he's got from Terry in at least 10 years. So we're really excited about the season. But I have had the pleasure of coming out to Wayne County the last few years for All-Star shows. That's a great little track, too. So, you know, size doesn't always tell the tale. So between I-55 and Wayne County, those little bullring tracks put on some great racing as well. But we are really proud of our facility and our Fab Four program. Still the only track in the country that runs 410 sprint, super late models, big block modifieds on a weekly basis. But our diehard fans know that if you stick around for the pro stock feature, which is always the last feature of the night, a lot of times they put on the best racing. So at Charlotte, when you get the 410s, the big blocks, and the supers together, they call it the World Finals. It's every Friday night for us, and we're really proud of that.
Yeah, it's definitely a great show that you guys put on there at Lernerville. And you mentioned it, home of the Fab Four means exactly that. You've got the 410 sprint cars, you've got late models, you've got big block mods and pro stocks. Of those four series, Eric, what is your best, what is your favorite series to announce? You're one of the announcers there at Lernerville. Which one is just pure excitement from green flag to checkered flag? And just when you're done, you're just like, whoo, you got to take a minute and relax, because it was just great announcing.
Yeah, and it's, I try to be, you know, professional and diplomatic, but, you know, since we've been doing a podcast called the Action Track Podcast the last few years, my PR director and I do it every week after the races, and he's a big block guy, and I have, you know, over the last few years really opened up and gushy about my love for sprint cars. So I love all the Fab Four divisions. Like I said, the pro stocks a lot of time put on the best, you know, feature of the night. But for me, it's always been sprint cars. I started going to Lernerville in the late 80s. So at that time, you know, and these guys are all in the Hall of Fame now, but on a weekly basis, we had Ed Lynch Jr., Dale Blaney, Craig Rankin, Jimmy Hawley, Rod George. And then when the World of Outlaws came to town back then, it was Steve Kinzer, Sammy Swindell, Doug Wolfgang, Dave Blaney, Jack Hoddenschild. So I fell in love with sprint cars very, very early. And they just look so much different than everything else, with the wings and the speed, you know, the horsepower to weight ratio. Everything about them just still just to this day fascinates me. And it's, you know, easily my favorite division. But I love all four, but it's definitely the sprint cars.
Now, last year, Eric, we know was a tough year for a lot of people across the country for a lot of different reasons, work and everything else. But racetracks were hit hard as well throughout the country. We saw a lot of racetracks not getting started till almost summer, you guys being one of them. Your opening night in 2020 was June 19th, I want to say, was opening night last year. That's almost, what, a three-month delay for you guys to start. This year, your opening night is April 16th. So in comparison, people can see what the difference was. But last year, a lot of tracks struggled, a lot of drivers struggled. But you guys opened up in June and still got a full season in with your different divisions. What was that like for you guys, the adjustments to make, and then the hard work of the track, everybody involved, to get a season in for those drivers so that they could still have a season in 2020?
Yeah, great question. And we had a lot of conversations. There was a period of time in May and June where I was really starting to doubt if and when we would be able to start. But as things started opening up a little bit and some of the guidelines in Pennsylvania started to change, and some of the other tracks around, you know, we're starting to open kind of against, you know, what our governor was advising. We, myself included, we started reaching out to local county and state officials, and we had a lot of conversations. We had a lot of support. You've been to the track. We have a huge, huge section of grandstands. So we were the perfect venue to provide, you know, social distancing. We did ask, and the very large majority of our fans were very supportive. We had people sign a COVID waiver on the way in. We did temperature checks of everybody coming through the gate, employees, staff members included. We asked people to wear masks in common areas, obviously in our open grandstands, and, you know, with race cars swirling around the track at over 100 miles an hour, we didn't ask them to wear their masks the whole time sitting in the stands, but we did ask them to space out. And it's so spacious there, there's plenty of room to do it. So we did things a little bit differently, but in a lot of ways it was one of our best seasons. We had a lot of people come to the track last year that had never been there before for a variety of reasons, but youth sports wasn't going on. There were no concerts, pirate games. People weren't going on vacations. So we really had a great season at the gates. And even with the increased attendance, there's still so much room to space out that we never felt like we were jeopardizing anybody's safety. We had all those precautions in place. And every once in a while, you would have someone, you know, have their feathers ruffled a little bit about having to wear a mask and, you know, the politics. But it was a very rare circumstance. Again, the fans, for a large majority, were super supportive, because we continue, like, throughout the night, and people probably got sick of me saying it, but the best way that we could have kept that track open last year was for everybody to be compliant. And it wasn't about control. It wasn't about, you know, anyone's political views. It was about, you know, following the guidelines that our state put out and working within them to provide family entertainment that really nobody else was providing. And the fans really supported us in a huge way, and we're really looking forward to coming back with an even better season in 21.
Yeah, it was definitely a rough time for a lot of fans and tracks last year. But once it seemed like once we got started and once tracks started opening, it was the floodgates opened, and we had racing. We had some of the best racing last year. I think that shortened season last year kind of put on some of the best racing because there was no time to spare. You only had what would be a 6-month season to win a championship, now down to 3 or 4 months. So guys were out there really hauling the mail and put on some great shows, and Lernerville was no exception to that. You guys put on some great shows last year as well. Let's put 2020 in the past. Let's kind of bookmark that and forget about it. Let's look ahead now to 2021. We are on pace and on schedule for you guys to open. You've got on your website to open April 16th. That's opening night 2021 for all four divisions there at Lernerville. Is this looking pretty good so far, as long as Mother Nature cooperates this year?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. We're ready to go. We were supposed to have a test and tune last night, and the track was ready. Dan Bauman, you know, had everything put together. The track looks great, but I was out there last evening to meet one of the announcers from another local track at Pittsburgh's Pennsylvania Motor Speedway. And then a buddy of mine, John McConnell, does a Facebook video kind of thing called the Garage Crawl, where he goes to different drivers' garages and hangs out with them and talks about their season. So we did kind of a behind-the-scenes garage call of Lernerville Speedway, of our press box, up on the roof, which is the best place to watch a race, and then, you know, went down to the track surface and into Victory Lane just to give the fans, you know, some access and some angles they may not see on a regular basis. But it was really cold. I mean, I'm talking, we were there at like 6 o'clock, and it was maybe low 30s. It was really windy, so it would have been a miserable night at the track last night, so we're hoping for better weather. We put that test and tune on several years ago just to give the drivers a chance to come shake everything down, make sure, you know, get as many people through tech inspection as possible so we're not slowing down opening night. So we have that. We have another one scheduled next Friday, so we're hoping to get that one in, and that way we're ready to go for Friday, April 16th, the start of our Fab Four season. And, you know, before we completely leave 2020 behind, one neat thing we did last year, because we did get a late start to our season, we actually continued it. We usually end the last Friday, like right when high school football season starts, because in Western PA, and I'm sure it's the same in Ohio, high school football is king. You don't mess with high school football.
Right.
But with the limited fans that were able to attend, we continued Fab Four racing the whole way into October. So we had our championship night on October 9th, and unfortunately I had come down with COVID. So I was actually and my son couldn't go to his football game because he was the one I contacted first. I got it through him. But I spent championship night up in turn one, quarantined in my car, watching from the outside looking in. And it was neat to be a fan again, just to sit there all night and see how the program unfolds. And my PR director, Gary Heeman, did a great job filling in. He's really come a long way on the microphone the last couple of years. Just filling in, you know, when I go on vacation, I let him call the big block modifieds because that's his passion. So it's nice to be able to know that I can have a Friday night off and the track is still in good hands. So we're going to try that again this year. Instead of being done on Memorial Day weekend when, you know, high school football starts the next weekend, we're going to go a couple extra Fridays and run our championship night into October. And then we have the other new thing we have on this year, we actually have a rain date of for the championship night. That way we have two opportunities to get the champions clinched on the track, because the worst thing in the world is you come down to championship night and you have two or three divisions that they're separated by single digits and that race rains out and those guys in second, third place don't get a chance to get that victory, you know, that championship on the last night. So we want to have two chances to get it in. If we get it in the first night, and I think that is October 1st.
October 1st.
September, So yeah, October 1st is that rain date, and if we don't, if we get the championship night in on September 18th, then we'll just use that October 1st as a test and tune for our season-ending event, the Dirt Car Roundup Steel City Stampede. So it was fun to be able to continue that season because we did lose so many weeks on the front end. It was nice to be able to put those on the back end, and it really worked out because, you know, other than a lot of football teams around here, one or two tickets per parent, and that was only for home games. So we had a lot of people that, you know, typically don't come that late in the year, and that's why we usually end it. That's something Don Martin did in the 80s and 90s. He knew his fans and a lot of his employees had kids that played football or marched in the band or were cheerleaders, and he didn't want to take, you know, that time away from the family. So it was something we tried last year, and we're going to – I think we're only doing two Friday nights that would actually conflict with football, so we'll see how that works this year. And we have a great format with our Fab Four program, with the Outlaws on the schedule, and we just try to do a couple tweaks every year, so we'll see how that works out. And if we get crushed at the front gate and nobody comes because high school football is back and better than ever, then we'll adjust and do it a little bit different next year. But the Thompson family isn't afraid to take chances and, you know, try new things, and so we're looking forward to a great year.
Let's talk a little bit about the schedule before we part ways. April 30th this year, we've got, it looks like, the All-Stars planned to come to Lernerville. How exciting is it to get the All-Stars in there? We talk about the World of Outlaws, but the All-Stars, they like to travel around this area as well, especially Ohio and Pennsylvania, and you guys have them scheduled for April 30th right off the bat.
Yeah, we've had a late April, early May date for the past several years. But, you know, again, you know, to me, the World of Outlaws are like Steeler football, and the All-Stars are like Penn State football. I mean, they're you know, so competitive. It's a lot of fun. And then that night in particular, not only the All-Stars coming, we also have Rush Sprint and 305 Sprint. So for a guy that loves sprint cars, to have three sprint divisions on the card that night is great. And then a couple of my really good friends, Blake Anderson, who announces for the All-Stars, and Tyler Altmaier, who does our public relations, are really good friends of mine. So we'll probably be golfing early that afternoon and then grab some lunch and head over to the track. So that's always one of my favorite nights of the year, too. And we didn't get them on the card last year because we weren't racing. And I think we were May 1st or May 2nd was the date on that last year. But because we weren't racing then, and just the way their schedule lined up, we couldn't get them back to the track. So they weren't with us in 2020, so it's great to have them back here in 2021.
Yeah, also a couple other big, besides the Fab Four racing that you guys do every week, looking at your schedule, you just have a ton of dates that we could talk about. It would take us the entire two-hour show to talk about them. But one of the other ones that we'll point out is coming up in June in just a couple months, is the big 15th annual World of Outlaw Late Model Series. You know, we talk about the sprint cars for the World of Outlaws, but the World of Outlaw Late Models is a heck of a series as well. They put on some great shows, but this year is the 15th annual running of the Firecracker 100, and that's a three-day event, which we are planning on coming to. So we're making as many adjustments as we can to come to that. So I plan on trying to be there for all three nights of those racing. But that starts June 24th and runs through Saturday, June 26th. This is a big event for you guys as well.
Yeah, it is. And my first year at the track was the first year that we had the event. So I guess I'm getting pretty old. I've been there at the track 15 years now as an official. I started as public relations and now the announcer. And we built that event from the ground up, and it is a three-day event. It started as a two-day event, and the romanticist in me really misses that two-day format. The original format, it was qualifying and heat races on Friday, and then all of the features and B-mains, the Uncle Sam 30, was on Saturday. But those heat races in that original format, you had one chance to get in that 100-lap A-main for $30,000 to win, and those heat races were cutthroat, I mean, pardon my French, but just badass racing because you had one chance to get in.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the three-day format is great too because you have three full shows, but there isn't that emphasis of I've got 12 laps to get in this race. Now you have 2 days. So the way it's been the last few years, several years, is your best finish of Thursday or Friday night sets up the heat races for Saturday. So a lot of guys will use Thursday if they don't qualify well to kind of tweak and do some R&D and then come back and be ready, you know, to put their best foot forward on Friday. It's still great, a great event, but I always come back to those heat races the first few years when it was a two-night show, and that was some of the best late model racing I've ever seen. But overall, it's just a great event. There's a lot of camping. We have post-race concerts. We have a driver autograph session. We've done horseshoe and cornhole contests in the past. Obviously, couldn't do that last year because, you know, all the social distancing stuff that we had to do. I'm not sure what this year's event is going to look like because, you know, the vaccines are out and things are better than they were, but, you know, now there are some variations of, you know, the virus going around. So who knows what it'll look like, but the one piece of good news for the fans is that it will be a 100-lap feature again this year. A lot of fans were disappointed last year because we switched it up a little bit, and instead of doing two 30-lap qualifiers and a 100-lap feature, we did two 25-lap qualifying, like preliminary shows, and then a 50-lap feature. And the reason for that was because we had a very unique opportunity to be live on TV for that event. Usually when you see the World of Outlaws on TV, whether that's the CBS Sports Network or MAV TV, a lot of times those are pre-recorded, tape delayed kind of things. And they even bring announcers in that they do a great job, but they're not there live. They know the result. You know, they're talking over a video. You don't get that passion and excitement of Rick Eshelman on those live broadcasts. So we really had a unique opportunity, but we weren't confident we could get that whole 100 laps in the 1 hour time slot that we were given. So to ensure we could fit it in that window, we cut it to 50 laps, and a lot of fans were really disappointed. But you know, again, for the large part, they were supportive and understanding because it was a unique opportunity. We're really excited to get it back to 100 lap format this year.
Yeah. That'll be fun. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. 3 days of dirt racing. Who wouldn't want that anyway? But
exactly.
Looking at the schedule, also we've got, we'll emphasize one more thing on your schedule only because, why wouldn't we? It's Lernerville and it's Don Martin. But the Don Martin Memorial Silver Cup 30 featuring the World of Outlaws Sprint Cars, is set up for July 20th. That's a Tuesday. How important is this race for Lernerville?
It's huge. And, you know, to memorialize the man that founded the track and to see his vision, you know, come to life, for that event to still be there 30 years later is really special. It's always my favorite night of the summer. It's a midweek. It's still the highest paying single event on the World of Outlaws schedule. You know, most of their big paying shows are 2 and 3 day events. So it's a midweek show. Great purse, great field of cars. We pull cars from, you know, PA Posse, from Central PA, and guys from out your way, from Wayne County, Attica, Fremont. Just a great event. And yeah, again, you know, I'll probably be golfing with Tyler Altmaier and Blake Anderson, and then we'll come to the track. But just an overall great event to, you know, always on our schedule, and just look forward to it. You know, again, it's Sprint Cars, it's World of Outlaws, and I couldn't be happier. And, you know, just sit back, watch Johnny Gibson do his thing. It's just a lot of fun. It's a great event.
Well, there's definitely a lot of great racing scheduled for Lernerville this year. Everybody needs to go to Lernerville.com. You can find their schedule on there. You can find news, everything about the track, where it's at, how to park. You've got an interactive map of the track on the website there. You can purchase tickets, all kinds of stuff on Lernerville.com. Check that out. Check out a few races this year as well. Get out there if you can and listen to Big E announce there at the track. You mentioned your guys' podcast. What is that again? Where can people find it real quick before we lose you?
Yeah, so it's the Action Track Podcast. We do it every Friday night after the races. So we usually bring up one of our feature winners. I need to get it on Apple via podcast, but usually we put it out on social media. We have a at Lernerville ATP handle on Twitter. But we push it out through all of our social media channels, have it on our website. And then the other new thing that we did last year is Learnerville TV. So we have our own live streaming platform. So if you're not able to come to Learnerville on a Friday night, or if your local Friday night track rains out, you can turn on to Learnerville.tv and watch the live stream in full high def. It's $20 for a single pass. You can get a monthly subscription for $30. It was a venture that we tried last year, and it was very, very successful. We look forward to growing that this year.
That's awesome. Yeah, everybody be sure to follow Learnerville on all of their social media accounts. We've got I turned in our press credential application, so I'm looking forward to coming out to Learnerville a few times this year. We'll have you on again probably right before the June event, that Firecracker event. We'll probably have you on again. We'll talk a little bit more about more of the schedule. It's just there's so much to talk about. We just don't have a whole lot of time, but I could definitely sit here and talk to you all day. So, Big E, thanks again for taking some time this morning to come on the show and talk to us and tell us a little bit about Learnerville and what's going on in 2021. We look forward to seeing you at the track and talking to you some more here on the show.
Yeah, greatly appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you at the Firecracker, talking about it before June. One thing, though, if you have a way to do it, I'll mail it all out. But if your fans can, you know, chime in on, you know, however you determine, whether that's Facebook or Twitter, I can throw out two pair of Fab Four tickets and a Learnerville TV T-shirt. So you let me know how you're going to do it, who the winner is, and I'll get everything out in the mail this week.
All right. Sounds good. We'll run a little thing today later on after the show, and we'll get it out there.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. I hate to throw that on you last minute, but I want to try to get some new people to the track. So if we get two Fab Four tickets and Learnerville T-shirt, hopefully they'll be able to come out and experience that Fab Four racing.
Heck yeah, we'll get it out there. So thanks again. Thanks for swinging by, and we'll talk to you here later.
Yep, good racing. Thanks a lot.
Yep. All right, everybody, that was Big E, the announcer there at Learnerville Speedway, joining us this morning. We appreciate that. Him taking some time out of his Saturday morning to come on and talk to us about Learnerville. We appreciate that. Our first time out there was last year, and it was a great track. Love that track. Beautiful racetrack. And I appreciate all the hospitality that they showed to us last year. We went for opening night, and like I said, it was pushed back to June because of all of the restrictions and shutdowns from last year's beginning of all the COVID pandemic that we experienced. But we were able to go out there, and it was really a great time. And now let's keep the talking dirty going with Christina. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Good morning.
That was quite a fun interview there with Big E from Learnerville. I think him and I could probably have talked the entire 2 hour show about stuff. He's a great guy. He does the whole podcast there. He's the announcer at Learnerville. I think, he's like us, Christina. He could just talk and just keep going, without stopping. It's just, once you get started, it's fun. You know, you've been there.
For sure. And it was fun listening in and you know, hearing him talk about his love for racing. I think late models are better than sprint cars, but that's okay. Yeah, it's all fun. But you know, it's great. That's what the sport's about, is being able to talk about it. You enjoy what you do, and you know, he enjoys it, and that's, you can tell every time he talks about it, it's something he enjoys. And I mean, we're going to talk about it here in a brief, actually in about 15 minutes or so, we're going to talk to another guy that enjoys racing as much as everyone else. And it's just a different aspect of the, just a little bit. It's just a little different for him, you know, with what he does. But
yeah,
I mean, it's cool that, you know, Big E also said he was glad he wasn't calling into the penalty box segment, so
we spared him this week.
That's good.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
we spared
safe.
Him.
He's safe.
Yeah, he's safe this week. But we've got some other stuff. Yeah, we've got another guest coming up here in just about 15-20 minutes. He is a NASCAR crew chief. You'll be conducting that interview with Keith Wolf. I look forward to that and hearing that. He is a new guest to the show, and that's pretty exciting. Whenever we can get somebody new on the show, just kind of reassures us that, you know, people still enjoy the show and that we're still getting new people to the show. It's not just the same, you know, it's not just me and Christina every weekend, which I know people love that. Everybody loves hearing you and I talk about stuff every weekend, but probably more so you than me, since you're more popular on the show than I am. But getting new people on the show is fun and exciting for me. I enjoy that. But before we get to that, before we get back to asphalt, let's stay talking dirty because, Christina, I know this excites you. You were probably so thrilled last night. I'm sure that Brad Sweet got his third win in a row. That's exciting over there at Casey Kane Racing in the World of Outlaws. He beat Mr. Logan Schuchart last night. Actually, I think Logan came in third last night.
Yeah,
they were at Raceway at I-55 there, and they'll be back there tonight for the final night in the NOS Energy Drink Sprints series there. Yeah, I've got it right here. Brad Sweet.
It was Craig Kinzer.
Yeah,
I
and Logan Schuchart.
Him and Swindell messed up. They're just as old. I'm sorry. But yeah, it was a good show. So it was fun.
Yeah. The last several races for the sprints have been exciting. And Brad Sweet, you know, winning three in a row. He won the final night of the Texas Two-Step. He won the Saturday race at the Jason Johnson Classic. He beat out Sheldon and James McFadden there to get that. And then beating out, like you said, Craig Kinzer and Logan Schuchart last night in the first race at Federated Auto Parts Raceway there at I-55. He gets the third win in a row. Three wins now on the year for Brad Sweet. And he's kind of... he's kind of pulled away a little bit from Logan there. Logan was leading the points for several weeks, but Brad has kind of put a little cushion there now between him and Logan. It's 32 points now. David Gravel's 52 points back in third. Sheldon and Donnie Schatz are tied right now.
Actually,
they are both 60 behind Brad
Sweet.
Wait,
that's not right.
Is it not right? Oh.
No, because on the article it says the actual standings are different than what it says on the
You're
actual
right.
standings portion. It's different. So that's what's weird.
I just noticed it said it wasn't updated since March 27th. Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. So technically Brad actually has a 38-point lead. Over Logan. And Logan actually ended up being last night's hard charger, moving up 13 spots, which helps him maintain some of that points differential there. Sheldon's in third with 68, and David Gravel is fourth with 68. So those two are still technically tied. But Donnie Schatz falls to sixth in the points. It was not a good night for Donnie Schatz, though. Let's be honest. That was another mechanical failure happened while leading the race. That's going to be heartbreaking for those guys. They work very hard and they're in some of the best equipment, but some mechanical snafus are happening, and you know, it's a rough go for Donnie Schatz and Tony Stewart Racing right now. They're in a predicament they I don't think have faced very much recently or at all, so we'll see if they can bounce back tonight. But, yeah, he dropped the whole way to sixth. and, you know, Carson Macedo is in fifth as well, and he's at a 100-point gap difference too. So we got a couple ties in and out throughout this new points battle. But we'll see what happens tonight. There's a lot of racing left to be had at I-55.
Yeah, there's a lot of racing left. in the season. So I'm sure that some of these guys, they're getting not too concerned yet. But at the same time, for these guys down around 7th, 8th, 9th, starting to see that that cushion move to 100 points or more for first place is going to start to be a little concerning. But, yes, there is more racing tonight for the NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars in the World of Outlaws. They are back for night two at Federated Auto Parts Raceway there at in Missouri. And then next Friday, Christina, they will head to Kokomo Speedway in Indiana. And then next Saturday, they will be at Tri-State Speedway before they move a little more south to Oklahoma and Texas. Right now, they're on that Midwest swing, we'll call it that, to Missouri, Indiana, Oklahoma. And then they'll start moving towards Texas before they come back up this way to make a run in Ohio and Pennsylvania. Staying on the World of Outlaws, the Morton Buildings late models, they ran last night as well, I believe, right? They did run last night.
Yes.
They are in the Illini 100. Tonight is night two of that. Yeah, last night we had and I'm going to try and read some of these names. I didn't realize that the hockey players have converted over to the World of Outlaw Morton Buildings late models. But some of these drivers, we had Mike Spatula. Is that how you say his name? he was the winner. It looks like Spatula. He was the winner.
Yeah.
He was the winner. And he finished ahead of Ryan Unzicker. Is that how you say it? Okay.
That's as good as I'm going to get with that one, too.
And third place, I can pronounce that one, Bobby Pierce. So
we know Bobby very well.
A couple hockey players coming over to the late models. That was night one of the late models there at Farmer City Raceway, and night two is tonight. So we'll see who can take the Illini 100 as they race tonight. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it was a great showing for them. It kind of had they didn't get the race Thursday, which was a little kind of disappointing. Mother Nature's playing games. I don't understand. Mother Nature's playing games. We got track today that had to up start times due to weather. Everything under the sun, and it's getting crazy, and everything else. And it's been an interesting time for these guys and the crews. Everyone, everyone's got to make adjustments and everything else. But last night, Brandon Shepherd had to be that hard charger. Last night, mm-hmm. up 13 spots as well. Lucky number 13 for both guys last night in that hard charger awards. Didn't notice that till just now, but that's a cool stat. Both guys that won the hard charger moved up 13 spots. It just happens to be that, Logan podiumed and Brandon finished fifth. So he's that, in fifth, he would be your first regular series running World of Outlaws late model guy. It's a different territory for them when it's, 1 and 2 coming as hometowners, and then you got Bobby Pierce. He's he's that rebel without a cause out there, and I enjoy Bobby Pierce. I love everything about him. His paint schemes are amazing. Folks, just look back. He had some great ones throughout the seasons, especially his Nightmare on Elm Street. He did that paint scheme two different ways, and that was pretty cool. And we have Tanner English as well, who, moved up from 10th to 4th, picking up some good, movement as well. So these guys have a lot of work cut out for them, the regulars here, World of Outlaw regulars. They're not faring too well when it comes to running out in the West. These boys, these hometown boys, want to take all the money. I hope it continues. So we'll see how it goes tonight. Tonight's big money night. It's going to be a long race.
Yeah, and
hopefully
our points.
Mother Nature stays away.
Yeah. Our points leader finished 16th last night. So now the World of Outlaw Morton Building late model points have been updated since yesterday. So these are the proper points, but Kyle Strickler still, even with that 16th place finish and Brandon Shepherd finishing top five, he still has a 44-point lead over Brandon Shepherd. Brandon Shepherd still has yet to find victory lane. We're only 8 races in. Don't worry, we've got 732 races to go. So Brandon Shepherd has plenty of time to catch up to Kyle Strickler, but the gap is 44 right now over second place. He's got a 74-point gap over Tyler Bruning there in third, and 88 over Ricky Weiss in fourth, and Dennis Erb Jr. is in fifth right now in the late models at 92 points back. None of those guys, Kyle Strickler is the only driver with a win in the top five. You go to sixth before you get another driver with the win. That's Kyle Bronson. So, Christina, the late model is definitely not as exciting maybe or right now with the wins like it is on the sprint side. On the sprint side, we've got how many drivers in the top 10 with wins right now. So I think the late models, they're getting there, but it seems like that maybe a little bit slower of a start, it seems like, for the late model drivers. But next week is going to be the weekend to watch, Christina, as we have the Bristol Bash next weekend for the late model. So that's going to be fun.
It's going to be very interesting. I mean, yeah, I know this is going to be the extreme for when it hits Bristol. Let's see. We're gonna have to see how it happens and where it, I don't know. I don't. It's the unknown for everyone. We saw what it did with NASCAR. Just imagine what it's gonna do to vehicles that are gonna go twice as fast. Just saying, because the late models already have put down some very extreme fast times at Bristol Storm Dirt Nationals that they had. So we'll see. We'll see who gets it done. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm excited to see how Bristol goes. I was hoping to be able to go to that, but I cannot. So I'm going to watch like everybody else on TV and, you know, on the computer. I wish they would broadcast these three nights of racing on, you know, FS1 or something too. It would be nice, but you know, that's how it goes. It's how dirt racing, you know, we don't get national television, except for when we run the track in for those guys. But now it'll be fun to see how Bristol goes. But I'm excited. It's a great, you know, great 3 weeks for racing, and I can't imagine how crazy this is going to be, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, before we get off of the late models, it is also important to note that was the first career World of Outlaw Morton Buildings feature win for Matt Spatula. So congrats to him for getting that win. I know that's not how you say his last name. I don't care. That's how I'm saying it from now on. He's going to be Matt Spatula. So
that's,
or Mike,
that's
is
fine.
It Mike? Mike Spatula. I'm sorry. Mike,
it's
Spatula.
Mike.
So,
but,
next,
yeah,
I'm
Mike's his first career win.
Yeah, next time I'm at a race that he's at, I'm going to take a spatula with me. I'm going to have him autograph it. All right. We don't have – what? Is that not right to do? Should I not do that?
That would probably be the most unique thing that he has ever autographed, I have a feeling.
I'm going to do it then. I'm going to do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
We got just a couple more minutes before our next guest will be here at the top of the hour, and that is NASCAR crew chief Keith Wolf. Christina will be talking to him here in just a few minutes. But going back to the sprints, the All-Stars, a couple things for them. They were supposed to start last night at Attica, but that was canceled because of the cold weather and the snow and whatnot. So that was canceled. They are going to race tonight. They have adjusted their times to get there. So pit gates will now open at 2 p.m. today. Drivers meeting following that at 4 p.m. Hot laps at 4:45, racing at 6 sharp. So they want to try and get this in tonight because it is still pretty chilly. I think the high around here is only going to be mid-50s today. So that might sound a little warm, but it's just that it's just still a little chilly. That cold air that came in this week is still lingering. So they're trying to do that today. Also, Christina, name change for the All-Stars. We've seen this several times over the last couple years. 4 years ago, it was the Arctic Cat All-Stars. Last year, we were talking about the Ollie's Bargain Outlet All-Stars. This year, though, Flow Racing has jumped on to be the official title sponsor of the All-Star Series of Champions. So a little easier to say their name now this year. We won't have to say Ollie's Bargain Outlet All-Star Circuit of Champions presented by Mobile One. Now it's just Flow Racing All-Stars. So big name change there.
Yeah.
For them. So I think this is Tony Stewart trying to keep, keep the series fresh and on, getting other companies involved each year, because like I said, a few years ago, we were talking about the Arctic Cat All-Stars. And then last year, obviously, last couple of years was the Ollie's Bargain Outlet All-Stars. And now this year, Flow Racing does a lot of dirt racing on TV, a lot of live racing. So they have jumped on board to become the title sponsor of the All-Stars. So that's neat, interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be interesting to see how their season goes. But our next guest is one. So we're going to shift gears. I'm going to page him in here in just a second, Pete, for everything. And we're going to talk to Keith Wolf, who has been on with me several times throughout the years. And I'm gracious that he was, welcoming to come back on. So without further ado, Keith, welcome to a Fastlane Sports Show. It's a little different than what we usually do with you, but thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to come talk to us today.
Absolutely. How y'all been? It's been a while. It's been a long time, I feel like. Almost half a decade or something since I've talked to y'all.
I know. It has been quite a while. A lot has changed. I mean, you're doing great, big things, and, you always did, with everything we've got to do with you guys. And, I mean, what's been happening with you guys? I know you're over there with DJ McLeod Motorsports now, and you're still, plugging away with the crew chief world. How's that been treating you this year?
It's good, but I got a question for you, actually, before we get started here.
Perfect.
If I remember correctly, your name was Christina Chambers when we met, and I feel like you may have gotten married or something here.
Yes. In the span of the last time we actually physically saw each other and everything, and I did, yes. I am now married. So, yeah, a little bit has changed personally, yes, since we've actually got to hang out and spend time together. That's for sure.
Well, congratulations. I just wanted to note that out. I was like, very interesting.
Well, thank you. Yes, no, but how's it been with the world of NASCAR for you?
Well, like everything else in the world right now, it's been interesting with COVID and all that. Fortunately, we're the first sport to get back racing, or any sport to get back to it when the COVID outbreak happened, I feel really fortunate to do. We're starting to bring fans back, which is obviously key to our sport. So that's starting to get better, and the world's opened up a little bit. But I mean, it's been great. I can't complain at all. NASCAR did a great job on getting us back to the track safely, And I'm pretty excited about this season, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. You guys got a lot going on, and, there's a lot of drivers over there at BJ McLeod Motorsports. And what's it like, for you to be able to just interact and be with all these different drivers and learn their driving ability to your crew chief ability.
Yeah, this year's a little different than last year. Last year I had Vinny Miller for the full season last couple years. This year I have an array of about three or four drivers. Really great, young, talented guys, though, which is pretty exciting. You know, I have Stephen Parsons, which is Phil Parsons' kid, you know, Benny Parsons' nephew. And he's got great talent. I'm pretty excited to work with him this season. We've got Mason Massey. We'll have Vinny back in the car a little bit this year, too. Ryan Ellis. So I couldn't be more excited with the drivers I get to work with this year. I've worked with most of them before, so it's not completely new. Me and Stephen kind of hit it off right from the bat. You know, I started out Daytona with the top 12, and we've had good speed together since he's been in the car. He's been really happy. The guys have done a great job in the offseason building new cars, and they've all unloaded very fast. Since we can't practice really anymore, it's kind of like, you know, you got what you brung pretty much. You know, you can make some adjustments during the race, but for overall speed, I think I got it hands down to BJ McLeod and all our guys there in North Carolina. They have done a phenomenal job prepping these cars this season.
Yeah, you guys have looked really fast, and, you know, there's just been unfortunate incidents that, you know, kind of take things away from you guys. I mean, it's been a crazy year. They didn't lie when they said it was going to be, you know, the best year ever, so to speak. But it's been a weird, crazy year, especially since, you know, you mentioned COVID. It was great to see everyone back at the track, you know, crews, everyone. I'm glad fans are now finally getting back. I don't know. I may make Daytona. Since living in Florida now, I did Daytona 500 last year, but I may make Daytona again, hopefully in you know, August or something, maybe get there. But I mean, what tracks are you guys looking forward to getting back to? I know it's a 2-week break for you guys with the Xfinity Series being off right now, but what tracks are circled for you guys that look like tracks you're ready for and you're excited to be back at?
Yeah, we head to Martinsville next, which, you know, Martinsville's a pillar of NASCAR. I like to call it the old days, you know. It's short track racing. It's beating and banging. It's you got a lot of attitudes going on there. It's kind of an iconic place for me. And unfortunately, I haven't got to run there very much, you know, switching around from the Truck Series to Xfinity. Mm-hmm. It seems like every time I make a move, wherever I make a move, they take it off the schedule and move it to wherever I was the previous year and vice versa. So I'm pretty excited to go there. I'm going there with Stephen Parsons. He'll be in the car this week. He's a great short track racer. He's got a lot of passion. He's got a lot of skill, you know. After that, I believe we head to Talladega, and our Super Speedway program this year has really reached a new level. You know, with the aero and the engines are getting out of PME and everybody else. You know, everything at BJ McLeod year by year has gotten better. You know, BJ has reinvested in the team every season. We've gotten better equipment, you know, better employees, you know, more opportunities with sponsors and drivers. You know, BJ started a cup team this year, him and Matt Tiff, along with the three Xfinity cars, and I couldn't be more proud of what they're doing down there. I mean, he set out a goal, you know, years ago when we started the truck team, and he just proves to everybody that hard work and passion really does pay off.
Yeah, exactly. The dedication that you put in, and I mean, I personally saw it with you guys when I believe the last time, I don't know if it's the last time you were at Martinsville, but the last time I was at Martinsville, we were all down there together, you know, with when you were, you know, your Peck Motorsports in the Truck Series, and then we stayed and did some stuff with the Cup guys, you know, when we had that going on too. So,
sure.
I mean, Martinsville is always fun, and, man, I always love cheering for the underdogs. Not necessarily you guys are underdogs, but, you know, it's fun to pay attention more to the teams that may not have, you know, the Joe Gibbs money of the world. And you guys are putting on shows left and right, and it's great to see. I'm excited to see what you guys do here Friday, this Friday at Martinsville. And, I mean, challenging-wise, what's the most challenging track? Is it still Martinsville, considering it's a paperclip and there's issues there, to, you know, kind of set up the car during a race, considering, like you said, there is no practice. We have none of that. You know, throughout the race, would you say which tracks are more challenging as a crew chief to kind of make the driver happy?
Yeah, you know, that question could go several different ways, but, you know, every track, you know, from your mile and a half to your road course to your super speedways, they all bring unique challenges. But let's specify on Martinsville. You know, Martinsville's, it's hard on a driver. It's you got to be very consistent. The corners kind of run like a road course when you're talking about, you know, brake pressures and how much, you know, how much pressure do you apply, how much front brake to rear brake, and still let this thing turn. But it's not only challenging to set the cars up for Martinsville, but it's mentally grueling on the crews, the drivers, myself, you know, because it's a track where, you know, your equipment gets torn up quick. It's really hard on the brakes. It's really hard on everything because it is a paper clip and you're trying to get turned. You know, I like to call it, it's like two drag strips with corners. And it's really hard there to get the correct forward bite you want and get the car to rotate through the center at the same time. But it's really a driver's track, the finesse of braking and throttle control and managing your tires throughout a run there, because you do have a lot of long runs there. And it's pretty unique to the schedule. It's a unique setup. It's not like you can take any other setup of any track we run at and take it to Martinsville. Martinsville is very specific.
Oh, yeah. It's not exactly, and you said it's going to be really hard on those guys, you know, trying to manage the brakes and especially tires. You know, how has the tires been this year? Like, I only see it because of TV. You know, I can only judge so much, but getting the insight from you guys and, you know, has it been a little better package this year, or are you guys still, you know, kind of trying to find the best way to keep those suckers on there, considering you guys only get, you know, certain amounts throughout every race, not a lot.
Tire management is always an issue, no matter what, because you're trying to push these cars to the edge, of course. And it seems like everywhere we've been this year so far, you know, it's been raining the day before, so there's no rubber on the track, or which is really hard on these tires, you know, until you get rubber laid down. You know, it's kind of like a cheese grater effect of a lot of places. And you basically, you know, you almost got to reel your driver back for a couple laps, you know, let the tire pressures come up. And you can't abuse them right off the bat this year, you know, just because Goodyear's done a good job, though, I think, with tire compounds this year thus far. We have no big issues, not a lot of cording going on. But, yeah, I mean, and with this year being the way it's set up, you know, everybody, you're kind of forced to, you know, some of the smaller budget teams, you try to get, you know, qualifying tires from the cup side or some, try to help the budget out a little bit. But everybody's pretty much on sticker tires this year because of how the program is with the COVID protocol. So it's costing the teams a lot more money, you know, but it's been, I don't know, it's been trying, you know, because you're spending more money, you know, but, you know, the person's been decent, but, you know, without practice, you can't dial your car in, I would say, the way you want to, you know. You can't check your camber curves as much. You got, and that's something you're not going to change through a run. But so you got to be the challenges this year, you have to be spot on when you unload that thing off the trailer. You know, you got to spend time at the pull-down rigs. You got to spend time in the wind tunnels, which alleviates to teams spending more money, which really does hurt us. So I don't know where NASCAR is going with practice. We brought some practice back this year at a few tracks. But I feel they have done the best job they can with the situation we all have. So, you know, well, I think, you know, testament to NASCAR and Goodyear and everybody involved to really bring the sport back and try to keep the teams within a budget that everybody can afford.
Exactly. It's all about affordability. And, I mean, all your sponsors put forth all that money, and it's just there's a lot that goes into it. And I don't think a lot of fans, like, really get to see the backside of, you know, everything that goes on because you guys are – due to COVID, it's like you leave the night before a race or the day before a race just to get there and it's unload. It's a lot crazier now, I think, than
it's
it was
a lot of stress,
before. Yeah, it adds a lot more pressure to you guys and stress. And, I mean, I think Kyle Busch said it best. Like, he misses practice, and you can tell, like, it does help out a lot more. And I mean, it's a little crazier for that, but, I mean, I know Vegas was a sore spot. Yeah, so I just talk a little bit about Vegas and what happened there for you guys. That one sucked. I like that car. I like the colors. So it was just a little, you know, disappointing for you guys. But I felt disappointed too, just because I was like, man, that sucks.
Yeah, we've had good speed everywhere. Unfortunately, you know, I'm not sure if we had a tire going down or what the issue there was. But we ended up, you know, we spun out one time, and then it kind of put us behind all day. We had the speed to get our laps back. But, you know, you're racing for the lucky dog. You're pulling pitch strategy to try to get the wave around just to get that lap back because, you know, once we spun out, the car went fire. You have four flat tires. You're trying to get back to pit road without tearing the fenders off the thing. And it just unfortunately put us behind the ball. It's not that the driver did anything wrong or, you know, or the crew or, you know, it's just racing, you know, and that's part of it. If you're not running these things to the full potential, you know, you shouldn't be in the race car. So, I mean, you're pushing the limits of these things. You know, everybody spins out. You watch, you know, the top of the field, the back of the field, Kyle Busch, you know, everybody, you know, it's part of racing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to take that away from my driver. He didn't do anything wrong. But unfortunately, we got behind there. But, you know, we made the best of it. And my crew, the drivers, spotters, everybody fought all day long. You know, you fight to the checkered flag, and that's what's really important. You're going to have these days, but, you know, nobody gives up with BJ McLeod Motorsports. You know, even though the night before they worked 30 hours, they worked all the way to 6 o'clock in the morning, turn around, very little sleep, get to the track, and you just got to keep going. And a lot of people don't see that, the hours that these guys are putting in to get these cars ready, to get the haulers on the road. You know, they go a couple of days without sleeping a lot of times, you know, on a weekly basis. And it's a tough program. It's a tough sport to be in. But I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Me and BJ have been together for a long time now, and I hope we'll be, you know, we have more years together. And the guys around us are great, you know, insightful, and we're a big family, so we'll keep it that way, and we'll just keep pressing on.
Well, but it's always been a family atmosphere. It's always been fun when we've come down and spent time with you guys, you know, at every track we've been to and everything. So I want to get your thoughts on road course racing, because we already experienced Daytona road course. But I want to hear your thoughts on this because there's a lot of them.
they added quite a few to the schedule.
So what are your thoughts on this?
I love road course racing. I won't lie to you. You know, it's a lot of technical adjustments you got to make as a driver. You know, it's very mentally challenging. You know, a lot more falls in the driver's hands on a road course, I feel like. And fortunately, you know, I went to the Daytona road course with, I would consider the legend, the man, Andy Lally, who I think is, you know, he's one of the best road course racers in the world. And, you know, we were running, I want to say we restarted third on the last restart. And we unfortunately got caught up in an incident there on the last restart. You know, we went from being a hero to being a zero, I like to call it. You go from third position, you know, and like 30th or something because you got caught up in a wreck and it tore the car up. But, again, if you're not up there mixing it up and racing as hard as you can, you might as well not be there, and that's what he was doing. And, unfortunately, we got banged around, and that was the outcome. But I am really starting to enjoy road course racing. You know, I truly didn't know much about it until I got to the truck series. But I've had great mentors and people around me to really hone my skills in. Now, I won't lie to you, a lap takes forever when you're sitting on a box waiting for your race car to come around, you know. But it's like watching dry paint. But I think it's good for the sport. I enjoy it. It brings a new energy and a different energy than you do the mile and a half. Or the super speedway race, and they all have their excitement and, you know, their challenges. But I can honestly say I think I probably have, like, Ryan Ellis in the car some for some road course races and some others. And we have people like that behind the wheel at a road course. It makes my job fun. It makes it easier. And I'm pretty excited for these road courses to come up.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool to see Andy Lally with you guys in that car. And, I mean, we were all, like, hoping and praying down here. We were like, oh, man, let's see. Let's get this done. I mean, we still cheer for you guys every week. You know, it doesn't matter what you're in. A lot of us, you know, from the old shows and stuff, we all, you know, get in our group chat and we're always messaging and stuff with it. So it's cool to see. And, I mean, you guys didn't get to run it, obviously, because the Xfinity Series wasn't, you know, I don't know why they didn't feature you guys on dirt, but what were your thoughts of Bristol on dirt?
Yeah, you know, I have mixed opinions about running these cars on dirt. They're so heavy. You know, you're talking about a 3,300-pound car on dirt, which is, it's challenging in its own. I think it's great for the fan base. I'm not going to say I got mixed reviews on it, you know. Instead of running myself, I'd rather run a dirt track rather than put dirt on Bristol because I'm not saying NASCAR did anything wrong or anything like that. I just like Bristol as an asphalt track. I think it's exciting, and we've had really good runs there. I would just, you know, why not just go run a dirt track? And leave Bristol be Bristol, in my opinion. It's the Great Coliseum. I mean, it's probably the most intimidating place I've ever walked into as a young crew chief back in the day. You know, you walk in, you about fall down the banking. You look around, you're like, oh, my goodness, this place is really intimidating, you know?
Yeah, I've never been to it, but I've watched it, and it's intimidating on TV.
Like, I don't disagree that they ran dirt. I like Bristol for Bristol, and I come from dirt racing, as you know, so I love dirt. But I'd like to see us, I'd kind of like to see us go around some of the old tracks. You know, I grew up running, you know what I mean? And I think that would be neat. You know, I think that would broaden our, you know, our fan base and everything else. And I understand why they ran dirt there, and I get it. It's a great concept. And I know some people that went, and they, you know, everybody's excited. It's kind of like when we went to Eldora, you know.
Yeah.
I think as if I'm on the other side of the fence, yeah, let's put dirt on Bristol. Let's go have fun there. I get it. You know, I get the excitement. I get the draw. But in the future, I mean, I think it'd be great. I know they're going to go back there next year, but I'd like to see some other dirt tracks come into play and maybe help some of these smaller tracks with the NASCAR base, you know, to save some of these tracks that, you know, aren't doing so well or maybe need a little jump start.
Well, I agree fully. Just think of it if we ran some of our hometown tracks, like, because we're – I don't know if a lot of people would know this. We're both from PA, you know, implanted in Pennsylvania and everything else. And we have a lot of tracks. Could you imagine them? I personally, it would never work because it's too small. I don't think Trailways would have the capability of doing it. But that's what I thought of automatically is tracks like Trailways. Because let's be honest, Trailways is a bull ring, and that track is just super fast. It's wicked fast.
Yeah.
You know, or I mean, Lincoln or Williams Grove or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree.
Yeah, I think we could fit on the Grove, you know. I think we could put a show out the Grove or someplace like that. Absolutely. You know, heck, let's throw up some more bleachers, you know, pack some more people in there and go have at it, right?
I agree. I'm 100% behind that because I was thinking of this, and you know how the Grove is, and we all do, and how it's been set up. We talk about it every week on the show. They could utilize the old fairground because they own it. It's not like it's a, you know, it's not a fair no more. There's no, you know, no park in there anymore, just some old rides hanging out still. But, I mean, we should put the Xfinity cars out on that. They would put on a heck of a show. You guys beating bang left and right on a regular track.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine the tempers that would flare there?
How iconic would that be, you know, to come back and, you know, let some vendors come to the old park and hang out, you know, make some money, you know, serve some food, you know, take it back old school. And, I think that's a great idea. You know, I still live in Pennsylvania, as you well know. You know, I fly back and forth and conference calls daily, and I love it here. You know, and it's dirt country here. I get it. But we have so many fans of NASCAR in this area.
Mm-hmm.
I think the turnout would be huge. It would be huge.
I agree. It would be a sellout for sure. It really would be. And, I mean...
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. So, I mean, yeah, and that's the thing. I don't think a lot of people realize you're not in North Carolina. You haven't been ever in your career, I don't believe. We've always done this where you've been in PA, and it's always a flyback, and that's another cool thing about how you guys work as a team and you mesh so well is you don't live – you know, in NASCAR country, so to speak. You live, you know, where dirt has grown and been, you know, king for a while, but you guys make this work, and that's what's cool about, you know, you and BJ and them. I've seen it work. Folks, trust me, I know it works. I've witnessed it. I've been there for some of these, you know, some of Keith's years in racing, so it's fun to watch you guys.
Time.
And Man, I feel like we've been doing this as long as I can't even remember when it all started. It's been a long time.
You know, I think I seen like something come up, and it was like 9 years ago or 10 years ago or something. You know, it was probably when I was, you know, when me and Peck were just running trucks, or you know, I was, you know, working with Bobby Dodd or something. You know, I'm originally from North Carolina. A lot of people don't know that. But I'm a coastal kid from North Carolina. I grew up as a Marine brat in Camp Lejeune. And I did live in North Carolina in the beginning of my career and get it started. And it's where it all started with Chuck Bounds and those guys and Hendrick Motorsports. But I came back up this way to work with actually Todd Peck when he was starting in the NASCAR K&N series. And fortunately, you know, some teams gave me opportunities to be able to live in Pennsylvania and be able to enjoy my family still you know, and being able to go back and forth and work and just utilize, you know, technology to work with my team. And I feel very fortunate for that. I don't know how many guys actually get that opportunity in life to be able to be at home, you know, where you grew up and have all your, you know, your high school buddies around and your family, and yet I still get to go and enjoy the career that, you know, I've always dreamed for myself. You know, I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed. You know, I don't take anything away from that every day. I know, you know, I'm fortunate. And I just, you know, I try to do everything just to try and let people enjoy it with me if that's what they're interested in.
Exactly. And, I mean, it's always fun. And this is something I'm glad we could finally get you back on. It's been a while. And, I mean, you know, the show – you know, I co-host with Pete on this show usually every Saturday, and we still do Slicks and Sticks every once in a while. You know,
okay.
The way my schedule is, and it's crazy. But I'm glad we could have you back, and, man, I'm excited for this. You know, this is the last off weekend. So I appreciate you taking the time during your off weekend to come hang out and talk some racing and your career. And I mean, we're all going to be pulling for you guys in Martinsville. I know it's going to be – that track is hard. It's hard on everything and everyone. Yeah, exactly.
Key to Martinsville is keep the radiator in the car and keep the fenders on it. By the end of the day, you have a shot at it.
Exactly. Well, we hope that you guys do. And, you know, Stefan had a great showing, you know, here earlier, just a couple weeks ago. And, you know, Phoenix,
absolutely.
It wasn't a bad race for him. He did really well there.
Yeah.
So hopefully,
yeah.
You know, you guys get there again.
Absolutely. And it's always a pleasure talking to you. It's like talking to an old friend because, you know, we've talked for so many years. I appreciate what you do for the sport, both of you and Pete. Just thanks to you guys for, you know, keeping everybody involved in the world with everything you all do.
All right, well, we appreciate it so much, Keith, and we'll be pulling for you, and hopefully we can get you guys back on maybe about mid-season again and talk some more about how things are going, and maybe we can get one of these drivers of yours on with you, too, and talk some of the career that they're having and everything, but thank you so much, though, Keith, for coming on, and enjoy Easter weekend with your family, and get ready for Martinsville, man. We're going to have to pull those, you know, those belts real tight again.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate y'all. And we'll have to get together since we're both in PA. We'll have to celebratory beer sometime when we come off the road with a good run.
Well, I'll have to fly up because now I'm in Florida. So.
I'll come to you. It's like 40 degrees here. I'll definitely come to you.
I figured you'd rather come back here. I'm in you know, South Florida, so I'm not far from. I was at Miami. I was at Homestead for championship weekend. The last time it ran, championship weekend. But I'm hoping to be at Daytona. Fingers crossed I can be there for that because that's, you know, it's a night race for you guys. So we'll see if I can get to Daytona. If not, we can all meet in the Keys. I'm not far from Key West, so we can go down to the Keys and all hang out.
You know the Keys is my favorite spot, if you can't tell.
Yes.
You know, so I can't turn down an invite to the Keys. So you say the word, I'll be there.
All right. Sounds good. We'll plan on getting our Keys tripping maybe during the off season while you guys get some downtime. this year's over. But, again, we wish you the best of luck at Martinsville. And after that, we got Talladega. That one's just survive and get it done.
Yeah. Well, happy Easter to everybody out there. And we'll see you all at the track.
Sounds good. Enjoy. Thank you again, Keith.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, there you have it, folks. That is Keith Wolf. He's been a great friend of mine for a very long time, a great person, crew chief. He's done it all. And, man, Pete, what do you think, man? What do you think of, you know, having Keith back on the air?
That was an awesome interview. Loved hearing it. Whenever we get somebody on from NASCAR, it's always a great time getting their perspective of the sport and seeing what they have to say. You know, we have Matt on the show throughout the year, every year for the last few years now. And, you know, he, of course, is in charge of the communication side of NASCAR, getting at the racetrack. He gets the drivers hooked up with different media for interviews. He does the post-race interviews in the media center. So it's awesome to hear his side of things throughout the year. And then it's great to hear Keith come in and tell us the kind of behind the scenes of NASCAR from a crew chief's perspective, sitting on the box, you know, talking about he loves road course racing, but as a crew chief sitting on the box, it's like watching paint dry, especially on a caution lap when it takes them, you know, it seems like 5 minutes just to make one lap. So it's awesome to hear stuff like that from those guys and to get their perspective rather than just you and I sitting here talking about the points or where they're racing at next. You know, that's awesome to mix it up on the show. And hopefully our listeners appreciate that as well. And we'll follow guys like Keith on Twitter, you know, keep up with him and their season. Same with, you know, the tracks that we talk to, Lernerville, Wayne County, Jennerstown, all these tracks, they all have social media accounts, you know, keeping up with them and following them will help you keep in touch with them as well.
Yeah, you know, what's cool is he got to work with Andy Lally at Daytona, at the road course at Daytona. And not a lot of people can say they've got to work with somebody like Andy Lally. And you know, I don't know how many people actually knew that he's still, you know, he does not, you know, he's not in Charlotte all week long. And that's the thing. That's why I really wanted to bring him back on, is like for the new listeners, for your listeners that maybe weren't around when we first talked with Keith many moons ago. Like you said, we've been doing this for a very long time. You know, him, myself, we've kind of hooked up quite a bit over the years with, you know, racing and stuff, but he is in PA. He's always in PA until he hops on the plane to head directly to the track and everything else. And I mean, that's how he does it. And DJ McLeod Racing has done a lot of things and they've come far, you know, far. And I was, you know, if you guys were following along at Phoenix, Stephen Parsons was in that car and he had a great finish in the 99. So it all works out and he's not working with just one driver. So that happens where you change, you got to change it up a bit every once in a while because you got a different guy sometimes in the car, depending on, you know, who's got better feelers at which track, you know. So it was cool to have him, you know, kind of back on and relive some of the old days. And he knows about the dirt, Pete. He's not afraid. He used to race on it himself, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Another NASCAR person with a dirt background. It seems to be the trend nowadays, getting back to that trend, you know.
Yeah.
Drivers from the 90s and early 2000s, you know, who did we always talk about? We talked about, you know, Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, even Jimmy Johnson had some experience on dirt, even if it wasn't sprint cars. You know, Casey Kane, a lot of these drivers that came from dirt racing into NASCAR, you know, worked their way up the ladder, the Bushes, you know, even. So, yeah, it's always fun to talk to somebody who's got that dirt background because, you know, that's a lot about what we talk about. So it's always fun to hear that.
Yeah, it was fun. And, I mean, he likes Bristol, but he's right. Let's run a real dirt track. You know, maybe we could have put the feelers out there. Williams Grove would be a great track. There is parking. It would work at Williams Grove. Over trailways. If anybody lives in the Hanover area, like Keith and I grew up in a similar area, we all grew up with trailways, and that track's amazing. Don't get me wrong. It's a bull ring. It would knock you out if you went out there trying to run big, you know, big old cars out there. But, you know, it was fun. So I'm glad you got to everyone got to hear from Keith, and it was fun. It was great to interview somebody again.
Yes, it was. And, of course, Keith joined us this morning on the Barbasol Shea phone lines, as well as all of our listeners. You can call in anytime, any show during the two-hour show if you want to talk about anything that we are talking about sports-wise. Remember, sports, not anything else. We are a sports show. That number to call in is always 657-383-1903 is the number to call in. Christina, let's take a quick 60-second break. Let's give Barbasol their commercial, and when we come back, we will break down the Fastlane Sports Show fantasy point standings, how we fared at the dirt race in Bristol. Ugh. And then we will get your penalty box pick, which I've got a few in mind myself after last week's race at Bristol. But let's take a quick break, and we'll come back right after this.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man.
All right, welcome back. This is the Fastlane Sports Show live from the 357 Woodworks Studios on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Christina, Barbasol's been with us since the very beginning. That's pretty awesome. Appreciate them sticking around with us, a little sports radio show. They have been very, very gracious sponsors, partners of the show, whatever you want to call them. And they have always been willing to come back on each year to be a sponsor of the phone line. So we appreciate them. I know you appreciate them. We've been together for a very long time doing radio, and it is sometimes it's a struggle. But, you know, we keep plugging away. We keep doing this. We do it because we love it, right? I mean, Barbasol doesn't pay us to do this. They give us a few things that, as far as merchandise that we give away throughout the year. But, you know, I put a thing up on Facebook a week or so ago that, you know, this is a passion for Christy and I. You know, this is a hobby, but it's a passion. We love talking about racing. She has grown up in dirt racing with late models at the racetrack since she could walk. You know, I got into racing via NASCAR not that long ago. 2002 was probably the first full season of NASCAR that I watched. And until I started helping Christina with her show, getting drivers lined up for her show and, you know, interacting with her and stuff, I never really got into the small town short track side of racing. You know, I didn't grow up around that. My dad wasn't into racing. So this show, Christina, for me, has really helped me grow into the grassroots side of racing. That's what we love to talk about. Now, we do talk about NASCAR on a weekly basis. It's just for a little bit. It's the last part of our show that we do. But that's because, you know, the first part of the year, there really isn't too much to talk about as far as the small town short tracks. And then obviously from about October till December, there isn't anything. It's just NASCAR. So we're not a NASCAR show. We are a small town short track show. We like to talk about the World of Outlaws, the All-Stars, the Lucas Oil, the Lernervilles, the Jennertowns, you know, the Port Royal guys. AJ, drivers like AJ Flick, who work Monday through Friday and race on the weekends. Those are the guys we like to talk about. And those are the guys Christina grew up around. So she's got a lot more background than I do. She can bring a lot more to the show than I can as far as that side of it, but it's something we love to do. We obviously don't do this for the money, and I think that's what, Christine, I think that's what kind of separates us from other shows is we have the passion, and we this is something we love to do, and it's why we do it. We're not sitting here doing it because we're making money off of it or because, you know, we're working for ESPN and this is what they're telling us to talk about. You know, we everything we talk about, Christine and I, we do our own research. We dig into it. We look up stuff. We, you know, I've got a notebook here of notes to talk about for the day. And it's stuff that I keep track of throughout the week. So we put our time into this, you know, it's something we enjoy. I enjoy it. I don't know about you, Christine. I guess I can't talk for you. Although well, I know I think, you enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing like the radio stuff since I don't even remember when it all started anymore. It's been that long. But it was never for money. You know, I put my own money into it. You know, as some folks know, I don't, we don't have big sponsors or anything like that, but it's always great to, you know, and talk to everyone. It doesn't matter whether it's a fan, a driver, a crew chief, mind you, that's exactly where Keith came from too, is grassroots and everything else. So, we all come from similar yet different backgrounds, and it's cool to, you know, set forth and put out there just for people to listen to. Guys, if I would have been, if it was about money and stuff, I probably would have shut it down like 10 years ago. I mean, it's not about that.
Right.
I've been doing this for a long time, guys. I can't. There's some people that listen, have listened since day one.
Yep.
And that's cool. And I just enjoy it.
And I enjoy doing what we do because, you know, there isn't any money involved. So it is a passion, you know. I think that's what keeps it real for us and why we do it. Plus, you know, we don't get paid to do this by anybody, so we can talk about whatever we want. We don't have somebody telling us what to talk about. As far as sports goes, you know, you know, we don't get into politics around here as far as, you know, politics as far as, you know, the right versus the left. Now, there are some politics we talk about in inside of racing that that we'll talk about sometime, you know.
Right.
But no, it's a great – I love – I don't know. I guess I'm just getting real here for a minute because I just wanted to say with the interviews we've done today, Christina, I appreciate everything you do and being – you know, you've stuck around since day one as well, since the very first podcast of the Fastlane Sports Show when we were doing it with Tom. You know, that's the point I'm trying to make is you've been here since day one. Barbasol's been here since day one, and we're doing it because it's what we love to do. And I appreciate you coming on every Saturday morning. There's probably a million other things that you could be doing right now on a Saturday morning on your weekend. Other than sitting here talking with me about sports, but we both, it's something we both love to do. And I appreciate you being a part of the show and helping out. And you know, I consider you a co-host and I consider this as our show. You know, I said it the other day and you were like, no. And I said, yeah, it's our show. I mean, you've been here since day one. You know, and it's when I talk about the Fastlane Sports Show, I'm talking about Christina and I both. We're both very much a part of this show, and I appreciate you being on here. Even I appreciate you even when you pick a driver on a dirt race at Bristol who scores 48 points for the race, and even though it wasn't a 13 spots, you get the hard charger for the week again, Miss Christina. You moved up 6 spots in the point standings of the Fastlane Sports Show Fantasy League, which again, thank you to everybody else too who is participating in that, Christina. We've got besides you and me, 9 other people doing this, so that's awesome. But yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, 49 points Daniel Suarez scored you 49 points last week in the Bristol Dirt Race, which was delayed to Monday. But yeah, congrats on that, Christina. You picked Daniel Suarez. He had a phenomenal race. He got up to the front and stayed there basically the entire race, chasing down them leaders and running in
and
the
leading.
Top spot. Yeah, and leading on dirt. Somebody who's never – I don't think he has any dirt background at all. He comes
no,
from
his first laps and were dirt. We're in the truck race.
Yeah. So, Christina going with Daniel Suarez, definitely going way out on the limb on that one. And it paid off big time for her. So she got, you got 49 points for the race there. The rest of us, we all tried to go with the guys with dirt backgrounds.
We all went with dirt ringers. And look what happened.
It didn't go well. And I thought, you know, I was the only one that went with Christopher Bell. And I'm thinking, all right, this is good. He's running up front. Then him and Kyle Larson decided to go dancing on the backstretch and do the tango. And it didn't work out very well for Christopher. So I scored the least amount of points. But you know what? I was telling a guy at work, he was bragging about it and laughing at me. And I said, you know, honestly, I don't care because I'm obviously not in this to win it. It's my league. It's my show. I'd rather see you guys win it. But, yeah, Christopher Bell got knocked out early by a driver I like, Kyle Larson. But he didn't have a very well showing either. Some of the other picks were Chase Briscoe. No. Kyle Larson, Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick actually scored a top 10 and got Craig 22 points for the race. Alex Bowman, he's another one with dirt background. He actually had a decent race and got Nick and Ty both 15 points. So Christina still holding the top spot for this week going into the off week because there is no race this weekend. Tomorrow is Easter. Matty Ice. Still holding on to that top spot and leading the points with 252. In second is Tasha. She has 219 points. Third place, we have Craig now. He moves up one to third. He's got 204 points. Those three contestants are the only ones over 200 points right now. But Christina, you jumped up six spots to fifth from the basement. So welcome out of the basement. Hopefully there wasn't too many spiders down there. Was it kept pretty clean or did you have to do some cleaning?
Oh yeah. No. It was clean enough.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm not cleaning the basement. Nope. That'll be for somebody else that has to go down there.
Well, Ty is in the basement now. He is in 11th. He dropped the spot. But, you know, it's been a great season so far. I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. The banter back and forth between people, everybody getting their picks in on time is great. I love that. You know, I told everybody at the beginning of the season, I'm not babysitting you. I will put out a post on Friday and Saturday letting people know how the picks are so far after the show. I'll let you guys know on Facebook when the race is, what time the scheduled green flag is. But other than that, I'm not gonna chase you down for the picks. And it's been pretty great so far. Everybody's been getting them in. So, Christina, I'm enjoying it. I'm having a blast.
Yeah, it's fun to do it, especially with a wide variety of people doing it and joining in on this. And it's funny because I picked a guy that y'all laughed about me picking, honestly, because let's be for real. Is you know, I just went on a whim because first off, Justin Marks does have dirt background. He is one of the owners for the car that at Trackhouse Racing that Daniel Suarez drives. But I mean, he put down fast laps when it came to that practice that they ran. I was really hoping to see how it would have went with some, you know, heat races, but you know, Mother Nature had other plans, which, you know, it's never shocked me. But so they did finally get it in. I was hoping for that win, but dang, Joey Logano just had to come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But we also don't have a repeat winner yet, though, either.
We don't.
Keep that
and,
in mind, folks.
Yeah, and like I've said every single week now, I keep saying it. I don't know if he's listening or not, but Mr. Michael McDowell, I keep telling you, so far we've had seven races, seven different winners. You know, if we get 17 or more drivers that win, that have wins, only the top 16 will make it, Christina. So you got to stay top 16 in points to make the playoffs. And I don't think we've ever had that situation yet. I can't remember. I don't think we have, as far as when we've started doing the wins automatically get you in. You know, you got to keep that in mind. So, Michael McDowell, you're 12th in points right now. Little bit of a cushion, but don't bank on that win keeping you in the playoffs. You gotta stay top 16 in points. So, Christina, are you ready for the penalty box?
Yeah, because it's going to be your pick this week, because I don't have one.
Okay, well, here we go. Let's get the sounder. Okay, that is our penalty box sounder. I get to make the pick this week.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't really have one, and I mean, you know, sometimes you just gotta spread the love.
Okay. Well, I, you know, I like Kyle Larson too much. I can't do it. I can't put him in the penalty box. It was a racing thing. Rubin's racing, right? Just because he took out my driver and I didn't get very many points and I was the worst pick of the weekend. I'm going to go with, this weekend I'm going to throw the Major League Baseball in the penalty box I'm going to throw them in there because I'm so sick and tired of seeing these, you know, we saw it a few years ago, I believe it was 2 years ago, maybe when the whole thing was going on in the South and North Carolina or South Carolina or something, when the NCAA pulled out of that state because of their certain policies and they wouldn't allow men to use women's restrooms or something like that. Now, Major League Baseball wants to pull the All-Star game out of Georgia because of politics, because of things that they passed through legislation. I'm so sick of that. Stop it. Stop. Sports and politics should stay separate. I'm tired of seeing this. I'm tired of seeing it okay for one side to have the upper hand on the other side when it comes to sports or famous people or movies or musicians or whatever it might be. I'm sick and tired of it. And Major League Baseball, you can go in the penalty box for pulling the All-Star game out of Georgia just because of some bill that they passed that is to try and protect the voting or whatever it might have been. But for you to get your panties in a bunch over politics and pull your game out of the state because of that, you're hurting fans. You're hurting sponsors. You're hurting vendors. You're hurting a bunch of other people. You know, now those people that run the stadium, they're not going to work that weekend now that they were planning on. you know, they have families too. You know, they don't make multi-billion dollars a year like you do for you to just up and move your game because of politics. Stop letting politics infiltrate sports. I'm sick and tired of it. We see it in NASCAR over the last couple of years as well with things that are going on and it highlighting certain drivers and getting them in the spotlight when it's a driver that shouldn't even be in the spotlight because he's a mediocre driver. But because he says one thing, all of a sudden he's the face of NASCAR now. So I'm tired of seeing politics and sports getting intertwined. Pisses me off. And that's my rant for today. But Major League Baseball, you are in the penalty box this week for being a bonehead and for moving the All-Star game purely based on politics. I'm tired of it. I'm also not on the side of the fence, Christina, of protesting or boycotting. I'm not about that either because the Major League Baseball can have their opinion. They can do whatever they want. That's the freedom of living in this country. This is as political as we'll get, Christina. But this is the freedom of living here is we can have different opinions. That's okay. They can have their opinion. They can do what they want. I'm not about boycotting people because of their opinions, because that's exactly, you know, people that boycott are hypocrites in my idea. You know, they're saying that you, just because you don't agree with what they believe in, they're going to boycott you. That you see what I mean? It's just, I don't agree with it. So I'm not going to I'm not one of these people. Oh, I'm done with baseball for this year. I wasn't done with the NFL last year or ever. I'm not done with NASCAR, and I'm not done with the baseball, with Major League Baseball. But I can still bitch about them and throw them in the penalty box. Because you know what? You know why? Because it's my show.
Plus, it's like you said, it hurts. It doesn't hurt Georgia. It hurts Georgia's residents, people's livelihood, and everything of that nature. So, yeah, no, that's a penalty box pick, folks. That's how it works. I mean, look, I've thrown NASCAR in for things. You know, Matt, if we want to get real technical, I could throw all of the Philadelphia Flyers organization in the penalty box because they just suck, you know, right now. Terribly suck. So, yeah. I mean, that's how it rolls. And hopefully, you know, we're allowed to have differences of opinions. That's why we live in the United States and can have those opinions. And, you know, everybody has the freedom to express themselves in any way they see fit, as long as they're doing it within the legal capacity. But, I mean, that's how it works. And it was crazy. I don't follow baseball very much, but I did see that. Sorry, folks. I can't watch baseball on TV. I fall asleep. I can't even pretend that I do. I can't. Now, if I go to a game live, that's a different story. But, yeah, so we'll see. That's it. That's the penalty box pick. So no racing this weekend as far as NASCAR goes. We do have dirt racing all across the country. There's a lot going on here. Not here. Oh, they raced last night at Volusia, folks. You know, opened up their regular season, opened at Volusia last night. They got some racing in. So we have local racing here in Florida, but we also have local racing in Pennsylvania going on today. Check social media, check Twitter, Facebook, whatever you have, folks, because start times changed. For Port Royal Speedway and Lincoln Speedway, and also I believe there was some other changes. I know Williams Grove canceled last night due to temperatures and so forth. Apparently, y'all got some PA got some snow in some parts, and man, it's crazy April. But you know, we're in a wind advisory and have riptide advisories until Monday. You can't go in the ocean right now because there's a potential for disaster if you do. Don't go in if the red flags are out if you're visiting here, because it could end deadly. We don't want to see anybody. We've already seen a few deaths this past week because people weren't paying attention to the flags. That's the craziest thing. And next week, folks, we're on the Martinsville. Get ready. That grandfather clock is ready to come out and go home with somebody.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's see. Oops. Yeah.
Whoops.
So thank you. Thank you for coming on again this morning, Christina. Thank you for interviewing Crew Chief Keith Wolf. I did change it, by the way, in the description. I didn't even realize that I had put Paul. Yeah, I wish we had Paul Wolf on as well. We could have interviewed Keith and Paul. No, it was Keith. I changed it. Thank you for doing that interview. Thank you to Big E. Thank you to Keith both for being our special guest this weekend and coming on the show. Hopefully everybody enjoyed those interviews. We love having special guests on. Check out Lernerville Speedway, Lernerville.com. Check out their schedule there. Go to BJ McLeod Racing. I think it's BJ McLeod Motorsports. Check them out as well. Check out their website. They got a great looking website over there. They got their schedule and everything on there about the team and stuff. Follow them throughout this season as they race in the Xfinity Series and dabble in the Cup Series a little bit as well. So lots of great stuff going on. Christina, it's another show in the books. Next week we have another special guest. We'll have Ryan joining us at 9 a.m. from Wayne County Speedway. We'll be talking to him the first 15, 20 minutes of the show, getting talking to them about this year, this season. Their first races today as well, gates open today. So check out Wayne County Speedway. Go out there, check out some racing as well. We'll talk to him next week, and then we'll do a little talking dirty and see how the NASCAR, the race is at Martinsville next Saturday night. So we'll be talking about that as well. So picks will need to be in next Saturday. Other than that, hopefully you and Jim have a nice Easter Sunday tomorrow. Have a nice holiday and a nice rest of your weekend. Time off before we go back to work.
Sounds good. You too. Enjoy the weekend with Katie and everyone there. And be safe. Everyone get some dirt racing in. There's a lot to watch. If you like Bristol, you're going to like real racing on dirt better. But, you know, with that being said, have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you to our guests. I can't wait for next week. Who knows? Maybe there'll be another surprise guest at 10 a.m. We'll see. Working on some stuff. But with that being said, peace out, everyone, and I'll check you all next weekend.
All right. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you later. Tell Jim we say hi. All righty, everybody. Thank you for joining us and tuning in this weekend. Hope you enjoyed the show. It's been another successful one, another overtime show. We have gone over our limit, but you know what? Hope you enjoyed it anyway. We had a couple special guests on. We had a lot to talk about. Thank you, Eric Westendorf, for coming on. He is the voice of Lernerville Speedway. You can check him out every Friday night when they go racing live at Lernerville with the Fab Four Series there. The crew chief for BJ McLeod Racing in NASCAR in the Xfinity Series. Thank you to him as well for coming on and joining us. Thank you to Christina for doing that interview and joining me this week as well. Hope you all enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a happy Easter. Enjoy it with family tomorrow. And then next Saturday, we will be back live at 9 o'clock, right back here. Same place, same time, same channel, same people. We'll have special guest Ryan Pearson with us. He is the GM at Wayne County Speedway. We'll talk to him. So enjoy your weekend. Have a great week. Until we talk to you next Saturday for Christina, I'm your host, Pete. We'll talk to you later. See ya.